This podcast presents current employability statistics of older workers in the United States and discusses relevant issues affecting the candidacy of older workers among various types of occupations. It also reviews a variety of peer-reviewed studies that have investigated the social stigma that can be associated with the hiring of older workers. There is also brief discussion on federal legislation that has been passed to protect older individuals in seeking employment. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967 prohibits employment discrimination against persons 40 years of age and older. Specific employer practices that have been found to be unlawful as a result of this legislation is to fail or refuse to hire or to discharge any individual or otherwise discriminate against any individual with respect to his compensation, terms or conditions of employment, or privileges of employment because of an individual's age. It also prohibits employers to limit, segregate, or classify employees in any way which would deprive or tend to deprive any individual of employment opportunities or otherwise adversely affect his or her status as an employee because of an individual's age. Lastly, it was found to be unlawful for an employer to reduce the wage rate of any employee in order to comply with this legislation. It is important to note, however, that it is not unlawful for an employer to take action, as previously discussed above, where age is a bona fide occupational qualification reasonably necessary to the normal operation of the particular business, or where the differentiation is based on reasonable factors other than age, or where such practices involve an employee in a workplace in a foreign country, and compliance with such subsections that would cause such an employer or corporation controlled by the employer to violate the laws in the country in which the workplace is located. While various state and federal laws have been passed to protect the employability and consideration for older individuals in the workplace, we find that employment discrimination continues to exist, as well as a variety of stigma associated with hiring older workers. One of the most useful resources used in the investigation of older workers and employability is the Sloan Center on Aging and Work of Boston College. This academic institution provides us with a variety of publications, statistics, and survey outcomes on issues related to our aging workforce and the amount of older workers involved in employment today. It also provides us with information regarding business strategies for the age-diverse workforce. The Sloan Center on Aging and Work may be accessed free of charge at www.bc.edu/agingandwork, all one word. Two of the more recent fact sheets authored through this center addressed encore careers and bridging jobs for aging workers, as well as business strategies for the age-diverse workforce. While many of the findings are not surprising, it does support our initial understanding that the proportion of older workers in the workforce continues to increase and businesses continue to expect to hire or consider the candidacy of older workers from the existing labor pool. The Bureau of Labor Statistics shows us that the age 55 and older labor force has generally showed consistent increases in population from 27.1 million to 33.1 million between 2007 and 2012, having an overall labor force participation rate of about 40%. In a global survey of business executives, nearly 1 in 3, or 31%, of firms expected to have a significantly higher proportion of older workers of 65 years and older within the next 5 years. Of concern, nearly 1 in 3 of these employers surveyed indicated that they did not believe their human resources strategies were effective in adapting to hiring older workers, and 1 in 4 conceded in having a lack of their ability to transfer knowledge from retiring staff to younger staff. The same survey also identified that business executives and benefit administrators have a strong desire to retain older workers and employees, as well as attract younger employees. While it is traditionally understood that employers will be less likely to hire older individuals in jobs that require substantial training and/or investment, a Forbes 2011 survey indicated that 32% of companies felt that they had made more progress in promoting age diversity, and 72% reported they had diversity and inclusion programs focused on age. So overall, as summarized by the Sloan Center on Aging and Work, many employers recognize the importance of retaining older employees and have begun the process of setting goals for age diversity and inclusion, specifically redefining retirement age and offering age-specific benefits. This fact sheet also identifies a variety of action steps and addresses issues relative to planning and encouraging older workers to remain in the workforce. AARP conducted a survey of over 1,000 HR directors in 2001 and found that more than half of employers indicated they would try to keep older workers on as part-time workers or consultants and would develop programs for older workers to transfer their knowledge to younger workers as they enter the organization. Educational offerings appear to be more available for younger employees, where employers are offering continuing education and development courses to approximately 50% of their workforce, whereas only 30% of older workers are recommended to attend such programs. Of important note, many small business owners indicated that they already offer or are agreeable to implementing the number of workplace adjustments to attract older workers. Some of these include part-time employment, specific work or project work, contracting or consulting work, and working from home arrangements. To specifically address the types of careers and how to bridge jobs, the Sloan Center on Aging and Work published a fact sheet in December 2012 indicating that many older workers would like to delay retirement, while others who retire prematurely for various reasons would continue working in some capacity to supplement retirement income or meet increasing expenses. A Transamerica retirement survey conducted by Collinson in 2012 identified that the majority of workers in their 50s and 60s plan to work after they retire, with 52% reporting that they plan to work part-time and 9% full-time. It was also found that fewer than 1 in 5 workers did not plan to work after they retire, indicating that the vast majority, nearly 80% of those in their late 50s or early 60s, expect to continue to work in some capacity. The 2011 EBRI Retirement Confidence Survey conducted by Hellman, Copeland, and Vanderi found that many retirees left the workforce earlier than they planned, citing such reasons for leaving as company downsizing or closing, health problems of disability, having to care for a spouse or family member, changes in skills regarding their previous job, as well as a variety of other work-related reasons. Some of these retirees also indicating wanting to pursue other types of work or other types of avocations, or were just able to afford early retirement. Important demographic characteristics identified in the survey and studies conducted by Cahill, Gandera, and Quinn in 2007 identified that previous blue-collar employees are now seeking encore or bridge employment at rates comparable to those at higher ends of the wage scale. The 2008 MetLife survey identified that most of those in encore careers came from professional or white-collar jobs, have at least a college education, and tend to live in cities and surrounding suburbs. This finding indicates that individuals who reside in more rural areas or small towns are less likely to be found pursuing work after retirement and have lower levels of education. Of an important note, nearly two-thirds of older workers indicated that they were looking for ways to better balance work with personal life, and having a friendly work environment was absolutely essential to the ideal job of 88% of those surveyed. This implies that older workers who have established or completed successful careers, if choosing to continue to work or pursue encore or bridge jobs, place a high value on the acceptability of the work arrangements, whereas younger workers or individuals who feel it is imperative to work to survive would be more willing to accept unfavorable work arrangements. Some of the remaining highlights as identified in the fact sheet addressing encore careers include that many employers view mature workers seeking encore careers and bridge employment as desirable additions to their talent pool, noting attributes such as reliability, leadership skills, and strong work ethics. In fact, a 2012 survey of hiring managers of 500 U.S. companies identified that 91% of hiring managers say mature workers are reliable, and half of nonprofit employers see encore workers as highly appealing. Another useful empirical source for investigating older worker participation in the labor force is the Bureau of Labor Statistics' monthly labor review publications. This publication contains a variety of topics, although routinely addresses older workers and their labor force participation rates. In January 2008, an issue addressed specifically increasing labor force participation and hours of work of older workers. Murray Gendel of Georgetown University coordinated this publication and noted that there were major changes in the movement of labor force participation rates and full-time employment of older workers occurring in the past dozen years. These data provide us with useful background information and, more importantly, historical information regarding changes in retirement age and expected years of post-work retirement. Much of the data is organized by post-work retirement and gender. For example, between 1950 and 1955, the estimated average age of retirement for men was 68, with 12 years of expected post-work retirement. In 2005, the average age of retirement dropped to 62.6 years of age for men, with nearly 20 years of expected years of post-work retirement. A more significant variable in these data is not necessarily related to age, as it is expected in years of post-work retirement, where we see a continued increase between 12 years in 1950 to nearly 19 years in 2010. More drastically are the increases among post-work retirement of women, which have averaged 13.6 years in 1950 to 1955, and now today fall somewhere between 21 and 23 years of post-work retirement. There were also some important issues addressed, such as the impact of older workers leaving the labor force. These data presented and displayed in this article continues to show that the United States labor force is aging, and the fraction of persons in the labor force aged 50 years and older increased from approximately one-fifth in 1995 to one-fourth in 2005, and is projected to reach about one-third in 2015. Consistent with the previous literature we've already reviewed, the workforce is aging, and for a variety of reasons. As is typically seen in labor force participation rates, rates declined at all ages beginning at 45 through 49 through 75 and older, and the magnitude of the proportional declines increased from small to very large as the age groupings increase. These data show, however, in 1985, the pace of these declines slowed greatly, and they were actually marked reversals of trends at ages 60 to 64, with pronounced increases among 65 to 69-year-olds estimated at approximately 28% and 70 to 74-year-olds at 34%. Of course, it should be noted that the number of persons participating in the labor force ages 70 to 74 are much smaller, so even milder, modest increases in labor force participation would yield higher percentages. The persistent declines at ages 45 to 49 and 50 to 54 are also consistent with the previous literature we reviewed, indicating that various incentives for early retirement and factory closings may have forced many of these aged workers out of the labor force before they were actually ready to retire. In addition to notable increases in labor force participation rates of men and women ages 62 and older, there were marked gains in the percentages of full-time employment, especially among women aged 62 and older, and nearly 10% increase between 1994 and 2007. In fact, men aged 62 to 64, 82% were employed full-time, and 65 to 69-year-olds, nearly 70% were employed full-time. Those 70 and older were employed full-time approximately 55% of the time. Women 62 to 64 were employed full-time 68% of the time, and those aged 65 to 69 approximately 53%. Women of age 70 and older were employed full-time approximately 40%. Overall, the statistical analysis and research conducted by Gendel in 2008 indicates that within the last 12 years, there has been an increase in the supply of labor at ages 60 and older, and apparently in demand as well. Gendel indicates that while it's difficult to judge the pace and extent of these gains, there is no reason to believe that these trends will not continue, therefore implying that the labor force participation rates of older persons in the U.S. economy is expected to remain prevalent. Ellie Berger of the Department of Sociology of Nipissing University conducted a study investigating aging identities, specifically the degradation and negotiation in search of employment. This specific study examined the relationship between identity and aging and identity and work. This particular study investigated data collected from interviews with individuals aged 45 to 65 in order to examine changes in identity that occurred during their search for employment. There has been an abundance of literature investigating relationships between identity and aging, as well as work, but little research that seeks to understand the interconnectedness of aging, identity, and work in relation to job search. This particular study focuses on older workers' job search process and obtains information from qualitative interviews rather than the abundance of qualitative data available. One of the key aspects of this study is to try to understand certain individuals' modes, behaviors, and interactions throughout the search for employment. This study also examined the conceptualization of stigma that older people are particularly susceptible to, and internalizing stigma as being labeled as old or less valuable than younger workers. Previous literature has investigated the impact of plant closures and found that older women in particular have the greatest challenges to overcome after layoffs, particularly in relation to depression, shame, and anger. Other studies have also identified that older workers' adjustment to unemployment, noting that these individuals typically have the greatest financial and psychological difficulties during periods of unemployment due to a combination of age and gender discrimination. Both Gilberto in 1997 and Reif in 1992 contributed to these literature reviews and findings. Other studies have shown that once older individuals become unemployed, they experience higher levels of economic strain, increased morbidity, and incidents of suicide. Berger's research drew on data that draw from 30 semi-structured interviews conducted with unemployed individuals aged 45 to 65 who were actively searching for employment in the Greater Toronto Area. Regular meetings were attended at various job placement agencies that specialized in providing employment services to workers of all ages. Most of the participants were recruited through attendance of through older worker programs such as computer training, interviewing, skills writing, resume writing, and such. The sample consisted of an equal proportion of male to female, ages 45 to 54 and 55 to 65. Various demographic and socioeconomic characteristics were noted and gathered, including education, personal income, length of time unemployed, occupational background, country of origin. For individuals interested in qualitative responses of the participants, I would encourage that you see if you can access this particular study in the Journal of Aging Studies, Volume 20, Year 2006, pages 303 to 316. The study ultimately found that the majority of individuals surveyed were able to successfully negotiate more positive identities through a variety of tactics. These individuals drew more frequently on family and friends outside of the specific employment program and altered their overall mental outlook by staying positive. These older workers did frequently indicate that they felt they were experiencing discriminatory actions by employers, which the author contributes to potentially being a byproduct of being labeled as older or an older worker through various governmental definitions and employment agencies. It should be noted that this research was conducted in Canada, in which different definitions are used to identify and classify older workers. The author also indicated that it was clear that the search for employment was structured by age, and in order to improve older workers' job prospects, older worker programs and employers' hiring practices need to be more sensitive to this fact. Beatrice and colleagues in 2009 published a study regarding the age effects on employability, specifically the career success relationship. This was published in the Journal of Vocational Behavior. This study can be identified in the Journal of Vocational Behavior, Volume 74, pages 156 through 164. This study investigated the similarity of the factor structure for self-reported versus supervisor-rated employability for two age groups of workers, and then validated a career success-enhancing model of employability across these two age groups. One particular point of interest in the literature reviewed, examined the relationship between career success and age, specifically investigating the person-to-environment fit for older workers. As is consistent with vocational rehabilitation literature, career development theories focus on the ideas that one's self-concept becomes more clearly defined with age and that career choice is a process of matching one's self-concept with images of the occupational world. Contributing author to this research was Watkins and Subnich in 1995. This would imply that older individuals have more experience, seniority, and have developed skills over time, will obtain relatively better occupational fit and achieve higher occupational levels with more job control when compared to younger workers. While this study was primarily carried out to develop a model used to predict validity of employability in the light of career success among older and younger employees, for purposes of this podcast, the examination on whether or not employee age moderates the relationship between self and supervisor ratings is of more importance. Overall, the research identified that for younger workers, both self and supervising ratings of employability related significantly to objective career success outcomes. Over 40 self-rated employability related positively to promotions throughout their career, although supervisory ratings related negatively to overall promotions. Additionally, the length of service appeared to be negatively affected and related to both supervisor and self-related employability, and positively to organizational-specific promotions. This implies that there is a perceived lack of worth and employability among older workers, particularly in employment settings where human resource policies don't view older workers as long-lasting, valuable organizational assets. It is also important to note that empirical evidence suggests that perceptions of one's own career do not always correspond to external objective criteria. This particular literature was supported under the works of Poole, Langenfox, and Ometi in 1993. One issue that tends to arise when discussing employability of older workers is computer skill acquisition, or the ability for older workers to become knowledgeable of the personal computer and demonstrate those competencies within the work context. A study conducted in December in 2005 by Reed and colleagues investigated the impact of aging on self-advocacy and computer skill acquisition. In 2005, workers aged 50 years and older represented the largest growing force segment in America, and while examination of the relationship between older workers and technology is nothing new, researchers are beginning to focus more on the attention of specific barriers older workers face when using new technology. The authors identify that little empirical evidence exists to validate whether age differences exist in computer performance, although it does appear to be evident that older workers may in fact perceive themselves as being of low or little value in a high-tech society. This particular study discusses self-efficacy theory to propose that age-related differences in the amount of computer skills acquired can be explained by age-related confidence and operating the computer technology itself. Previous research has shown that there is a positive relationship that exists between computer self-efficacy and computer-related outcomes, thus implying that individuals who have a desire or interest in obtaining such skills are successful in technology performance. There does appear to be a relationship between age and experience, specifically that older workers, while performing their work prior to the technological revolution, had less computer interaction, thus explaining lower computer performance for aging workers. This particular information was identified by Ansley and Erber in 1998. The first hypothesis outlined by these researchers is that age is negatively related to the computer skill acquisition. Kelly and Charnas in 1995 hypothesized that age affects computer performance and examined a variety of age-related abilities, experiences, and attitudes as potential explanatory variables. The hypothesis begins with the assumption that spatial abilities or perceptual speed declines with age, thus making word processing and information retrieval more difficult for older computer operators. These authors also indicated that based on biological deficits as we age, we become more challenged in our ability to interface with computers, specifically noting reaction time, visual acuity, and spatial memory becoming more challenging in carrying out the requested work. Some previous research examined an indirect effect on age on computer self-efficacy and subsequent computer performance. Chisholm and colleagues in 2002 hypothesized that individual characteristics such as age affected computer self-efficacy and skill obtainment. Their research identified that age only slightly impacted computer ownership, but the study did not examine how individual characteristics affected computer usage. The second hypothesis presented by these authors is that age is negatively related to computer self-efficacy. These authors note that empirical studies support the mediating effects of computer self-efficacy between previous experience and using computers in job performance, although failed to address potential effects of age. This was particularly identified as problematic by Henry and Stone in their literature review of 1995. The third hypothesis brought forth by these authors is that computer self-efficacy will mediate the influence of age on computer skill acquisition. The participants for this study were volunteers solicited from more than 100 local organizations in the Midwest. Selected organizations dealt with employee issues where individuals who may or may not have easy access to basic computer training. The participants received a 3-hour basic computer training session on word processing and spreadsheet software in exchange for their participation, and the same trainer facilitated all 22 sessions. Ages of participants ranged from 17 to 86 years of age, with a mean age of 51. The participants completed a series of questionnaires and objective skill assessments. The subjective and objective measures allowed the researchers to investigate various dependent variables based on self-report and objective performance measures. The study found that computer self-efficacy did effectively mediate the relationship between age in both objective and subjective measures of computer skill acquisition. What was found to be contrary to previous research is that in individuals' attitudes towards technological change had no significant effect on the age computer self-efficacy relationship. The study results also indicated that people who have stronger positive beliefs about their computer skills are in fact better able to acquire these skills, and again, this finding was supported by both objective and subjective measures. There was a negative relationship identified between age and computer skill acquisition, and the authors noted that while age significantly impacted both measures of skill acquisition, age explained significantly more variance in the self-report measure, indicating that the older a worker becomes, the less computer skills they have. Roop, in 1995, found that while behaviors improved after computer skill interventions, effective outcomes remained relatively stable, specifically perception of older workers about their ability to use computers or technology. As supported in the study, older workers may report negative beliefs about their ability to operate technology despite relatively positive objective measures regarding their confidence. In closing, Zikur and Madden in 2012 conducted research for the Pew Research Center in investigating older adults and internet use. It was found that 53% of American adults aged 65 and older use the internet or email, according to this study. The survey also found that 86% of internet users aged 65 and older use email, with 48% doing so on a typical day, and one-third of internet users aged 65 and older use social networking sites such as Facebook. In summary, the statistics and empirical research has shown that in the United States, the labor force is continuing to age and will continue to do so through 2015. The perception that older workers retire and remain out of the labor force is generally found to be false, where increasing percentages and ratios of workers are returning to work for various reasons. While research shows that employment discrimination and stigma still exist, employers are becoming more familiar with and becoming more receptive to retaining older workers in consulting and part-time roles, as well as considering older workers as part of the viable applicant pool. Research has also shown that older workers tend to favor work environments that are closely related to their interests and skills and are less apt to, for lack of a better term, tough it out in occupational areas of non-interest. Of particular importance is the research that has demonstrated that older individuals are capable of obtaining and maintaining computer skills, although age appears to be negatively related to computer skill acquisition. The most recent studies in 2002 indicate that individuals age 65 and older are utilizing the computer to access email, social network, and navigate the internet on a daily basis. If you have any questions regarding this podcast or any of our previous podcasts, please contact us at 517-622-4878 and we will assist you. You may also email us at anay@hfarehab.com. That's anay@hfarehab.com. For a copy of this transcript or access to any of our previous podcasts, please visit us at www.hfarehab.com in our resources and educational podcast section.